privilege this morning to welcome our speaker, Helen Calder. If you were here yesterday, you met her, you heard her, you were blessed. I'm not going to say too much. I'll let her speak. So please welcome Helen.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Wonderful to be with you all, and I bring greetings from David McCracken Ministries in Melbourne, and many of you may know David McCracken as a prophet who's widely known here in Australia, New Zealand, and in the nations. And David and Margaret's passion is to develop prophetic team, and it's my honour to be on their team. They've been praying for you. We've been believing for a tremendous move of the Spirit for you and an empowerment this weekend. And we had such a great day yesterday, didn't we? Well, I must say it's warm here. You guys might think like it's still winter, but it's 10 degrees cooler where I come from. So, but it's just a privilege to be here. And let's just pray for a moment. We're just going to honor the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for your extraordinary grace. There's something significant that is on this church that I know because I've walked into it. And it's significant, it's unique, and it's powerful, Father. And it is your gift to the nations. Lord, right now we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our midst. And ask, Lord, that you would just meet us, each of us individually where we are at. That you would speak your life-changing word to us. We give you permission, Lord, to shift us and move us, to open our eyes, to speak words of life that will just cause us to be closer to you and more involved in your purpose, Father. I thank you that this morning is going to be a launching pad for many people here into a new sense of freshness and a new sense of life and purpose. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. As a prophetic ministry, we particularly spend time waiting on God for His now word for you as a church and for individuals. And the way that God works with me is primarily through pictures. I tend to see like pictures or visions that God gives me, and often very simple, very encouraging. But I have a few to share with you at some individuals this morning. When I had a scripture first. This gentleman here, what's your name?
Vanwell.
Vanwell? Vanwell, I just had a word, transformation. Transformation, and I just see like the Holy Spirit blowing in a fresh way on your life and on the life of those around you and close to you. If you have a family, I just sense this is wider than just for you. But Isaiah in chapter 35, it says the desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor. And you will see the glory of God and the splendor of our God. And the word goes on to say, strengthen the feeble hands and the knees that give way. And say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. And I see God raising you up with that message because of the work of transformation that He has done and will continue to do in your life. That you're one who will rise up to strengthen those who have feeble hands and knees that give way. You will be one who has the courage to bring encouragement and strength to others, to say, be strong and do not fear, and that your God will come, because there is a gift of faith being imparted to your life. and you will recognize it in the transformation that God brings. But I see a strengthening in your spirit, and that's going to come out of your mouth, that you're going to start to speak into the lives of others the strength and purposes of God, because there is a gift of faith on your life. Bless you. This couple here, what's your names?
Graham and B.
Did I have a word for you yesterday? Well, double trouble, right? But what I'm seeing is you standing on the edge. I see a leap of faith at some stage for you. And what I see is like your feet just over the edge of something that God is going to call you into. But in that is the leap of faith is you not being sure that you have the fullness of what it takes for the new thing or the new season that God is calling you into. And so in it is this sense of, well, I don't really know whether, we don't know whether we've got all that it takes for this that's ahead in ourselves or in the skills that you have. But what I'm seeing is others will see it in you, even when you are unsure. And one of the things that we're really strong on is spiritual oversight and having the confirmation for things. But what I'm seeing is you it being recognized by others and clearly the call of God. But it's going to be a leap of faith into the fullness of what he has for you. And in the process, in the new thing, it's going to call stuff out of you that you didn't even know was there. There is stuff on the inside of you that God has placed within you that perhaps is still in seed form. But in the process of moving through into the new seasons of God, there's going to be the watering of those seeds. There's going to be the breaking loose of some stuff, some strength that God has placed within you, both in terms of your gifts, but also skills and abilities. And so I just see that there is something yet to emerge. It's going to be fantastic. It's okay, you can turn around if you want to watch. You guys together? Okay. What's your names? Dave and Jordy? Yeah. What I heard was the scripture, you know, the scripture, he who honors me, I will honor. And it's from Samuel, but what I remembered from that was the movie Chariots of Fire, where, what was the name of the guy that was the champion runner? Anyway, what he said was, when I run, I feel his pleasure. And I just see a sweet spot for you guys, that maybe you're not feeling like you're in that right now, but God knows and God has a sweet spot for you. That place that he's designed you for uniquely, that he's called you for. And you will know at that time when you run, you feel his pleasure. But he wants you to know that even in the processes and the training and the tough times that are the training that are along the way, that you can still feel his pleasure. He wants you to know that his favor is on you, that his smile is over you. But the sweet spot was what I really felt. But as you honor him throughout the whole process and together, and just allow him to knit you together in that process, he's going to honor you. He's going to honor the things that are on your heart to see them come to pass. Bless you guys. This lady here, what's your name? Dorothy. Dorothy, I just see favor on you. I see the favor of God on you. He wants you to know that you are very special to him, that His favor is on you. That means like you're his favorite daughter. We're all favorites. But for some reason, he just wants to let you know this morning that you're someone who's on his heart, that he cares about. And in that favor, I see opportunities coming your way that may be surprising, because you might feel like, well, I don't know whether I deserve this or whether I even saw this coming. But God wants you to know that He's going to give you some opportunities, and He's going to open some doors of favor to you, because He has a plan and a purpose for your life, and He loves you, and His favor is over you. Bless you. I'm testing this microphone, aren't I? This gentleman here, what's your name?
Neil.
Neil, I have the word freedom for you. And I just see God releasing you into a new season. I see like a confinement that there's been. And I see it's almost like this box. But I see you, this is a time to break loose. It's a time to break forth. And that which has felt like it's been like a brick wall, it's not. it's like cardboard. And I just see you realizing that. I see you realizing who you are. I see you realizing who your God is, and just kicking your way free from this box. I just believe this morning is God's appointment for you. And even the message that I have this morning about the waiting is over, that this is God's message for you. This is His heart for you. It's a time of freedom for you. Bless you. Ruth, is it? Ruth? Ruth, I had this picture of you tending seedlings and watering them. And I just felt like God wants to say thank you for the things that you do, for that which you nurture, for those things just even spiritually, the things that you take care of. And I just see His heart is this morning just to honor you in that and say thank you. And I see even greater fruitfulness. I see an acceleration in some of the things that have been under your care, the things that you've been sowing into and nurturing. I see an accelerated growth that God is bringing. And I see joy. I just see a new joy on your life. Yeah, bless you. Kath, I have this picture of you with a basket full of flowers, full of flowers. And it's like wherever you go, the flowers are dropping off. It's what you carry is so full and plentiful in God. And you leave, and you may not even be aware of it, but you leave a fragrance wherever you go. And that wonderful heart that I've seen that you have to serve, and it's really awesome. But that's just the picture I saw. I saw the flowers just, and you not even being aware that you were leaving this fragrance behind you. But it's just who you are and what you carry is really wonderful. And for you both, I see like you each have a tool belt with different complementary tools in. I see that the fullness of your calling is together, that you carry, each of you, the complementary tools and things that God has placed in your hands individually that He'll use together in powerful ways beyond that which you can comprehend right now. And I see the process of sharpening up those tools individually. But I see that in the future, the culmination, there is going to be something significant that He's using you in together. So bless you guys. Yeah. Okay. I was really blown away by the prophetic moment that we had, thank you, this morning, praying for the nations, because when I was praying for you as a church, I heard the Holy Spirit say, inside out, inside out. And immediately I had a picture. And in the picture, I saw a globe of the world. But it wasn't the usual type of globe that you'd see on someone's desk. It was made of fabric, like padded quilting. This was a really specific thing that I saw. And the nations were stitched onto the outside of this quilted globe, but the fabric was quite plain and nondescript of the outside, and then the nations were stitched around it. But what I saw was I saw God's hand going inside of this globe to pull it inside out. And that was the word I'd heard, inside out. The fabric on the inside of that globe was just beautiful. It was the cloth of kings, was what I felt. It was, you know, the valuable, the deep red, the gold embroidery of pure gold. And it spoke to me of royalty. It spoke to me of the glory of God. And this picture reminded me of Moses' tabernacle. And of course, with Moses' tabernacle, the outside, it was covered with badger skins, which were very, very plain. It wasn't anything to look to be noticeable on the outside. And yet, on the inside, it was magnificent. On the inside, there was, you know, the fabric, the embroidering, just the beauty, but most importantly, the glory of God. And I see a season of release for you, where you are realizing who you are and what you carry, and that it's significant that God is bringing nations together in this place, but also that you will be released to the nations. I see a coming and a going. I see arrows of fire just being released out into the various parts of the world. But I know, and I've seen this morning, I can sense this place, you have something very unique. And that is going to be put on display for many to see. So individually, be aware that this is God's time for his work in your life to be put on display, but also as a church. I had another, as I was praying for you, I was walking around a local lake, actually. And this lake has been cut off for quite a while due to flooding events and things. But there's been a bridge. We noticed a while back they were constructing this new bridge around the lake. So we haven't been able to go there because it's all been under construction and under wraps and so on. And so we've only been able to go partway around the lake and then walk back. But I started my walk and I was praying for you. And when I got to the bridge, it had been completed. It was finished, and I was able to go over it, and it was really good. But what I felt God speak was to say to you, tell them the bridge has been completed, that it is time to cross over into the new things that God has for you. There is seasons sometimes of waiting. There are seasons of preparing, but there are seasons where it's time. And I believe now is one of those Kairos time moments for you as a church, which is why I'm bringing this word to you this morning. The waiting is over. The waiting is over. And there's a story in the book of John, and we're going to read from John in chapter 1, in verse 43 starting. It's a story that takes place very early in Jesus' ministry, before he's done any miracles, shortly after he's been baptized by John the Baptist. And he's calling his disciples. And here we have him calling Philip, verse 43 of John chapter 1. The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. And finding Philip, he said, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So here we have Jesus has called Philip. Philip has committed to follow Jesus. The first thing he does, he goes out and he seeks out his friend Nathanael. And it seems they've got a similar interest in and hunger for the things of God. And Philip says to Nathanael, "We don't have to wait anymore.
the one we've been waiting for, the Messiah, the one we've been expecting to come and establish God's kingdom and to deliver Israel, the one the scriptures have talked about, that we've studied about. I found him. It's Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And we know that at this time in the New Testament, there were many godly Jewish men and women who were waiting and expectant of the Messiah. And we see them throughout. We see in the temple when you have Anna and Simeon, they've been waiting for the Messiah, and Mary and Joseph bring baby Jesus in. And then you have others in the Gospels. The one, Joseph of Arimathea, who provided the tomb for Jesus' body. And Matthew described him as a man who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God. And they've been waiting for a very long time. There's a gap of 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, between the last word from the prophets and this time in the New Testament. And this waiting has now become a very dark period in their lives, because there is Roman occupation. They've been taken over by the Romans. The military presence is high. There's a lot of oppression. They're taking their money, their taxes. And so it's a really, really dark time. They long for their freedom. And waiting can be a hassle, can't it? I remember we were told recently, flying in a small plane back to Melbourne, look, we've been in touch with the tower in Melbourne, the traffic control, and they say that due to the weather, the bad weather, there's a backup, so it's going to be a bit of waiting when we get to Melbourne. And we're flying in the dark, don't you hate this, flying in the dark around in circles in bad weather, waiting to come down through the turbulence. And waiting. Waiting rooms. I really don't like waiting rooms, like doctors and that kind of thing. I will do anything to avoid long periods of waiting, like phoning up ahead of time and saying, you know, is there much wait time? How many people are ahead of me? And just getting it all worked out. Anything to avoid the waiting. And in our faith life and in our times with God, there can be waiting times that are good and ordained by Him. But there could also be times when we get stuck in the waiting room, when we get stuck in a place where we don't actually have to be, but we're stuck in that place, in a place where we might be waiting for prayer to be answered. We might be waiting for things to line up so that we can go to the next thing. There might be a sense of frustration. We might feel like we're in a bit of a rut. We might be longing for the supernatural move of God for our lives and wondering how can we step into that thing. And in those times, our waiting, like the Jews in the opening of the New Testament, our lives seem to be more about the one day when than about actually what God is doing now. And if you can identify with this sense of being in a waiting room, then I've got good news for you. Today, we have Philip announcing to Nathaniel, we don't have to wait for the Messiah anymore, and we can leave the waiting room and join in with what God's doing. The King is here. There's just one problem. The King does not look like the Messiah that they are expecting. And it's not just that he's come from Nazareth recently. They're expecting this powerful ruler, not a roaming rabbi. And they've studied the scriptures, and they've seen in the scriptures that there is going to come a king from the line of David who is going to be the deliverer, who's going to be the one who will set Israel free and restore them and fulfill all of God's promises to them as a nation and rule the earth with the people of God alongside of him. And that's what they've seen in the scriptures. And they're right. But what they don't realize is that the same scriptures also speak of the Messiah as the suffering servant. And God, in his extraordinary grace, has designed that the Messiah come not just once to rule and reign, but twice. The first time to to suffer and to die on the cross for the forgiveness of sins of the world. And then a period of grace that we're in today where we can enter into that salvation and then to come again as the ruler and the restorer and the deliverer and to release Israel from captivity and fulfill all of those things that he has spoken to and to release all of us into the kingdom of God in fullness. But they don't know that yet. And so Philip calls to Nathanael, "We've found the one." And he's like, "What?" And right at the door of the waiting room, Nathanael's hesitating. And you can't blame him for thinking, "Well, I think I'll just wait until someone who looks a bit more like the Messiah that we've been expecting will come along." But Philip says to him, "Come and see." And so he does. And when Nathanael approaches Jesus, it says in John 1, 47 to 48, this is the New Living Translation, Jesus says of Nathanael, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." "How do you know about me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." And then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." And so he approaches Jesus. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, "Nathanael, I've been expecting you. I've been waiting for you." And in that moment of encounter, Nathanael believes. And when he emerges from the waiting room, he encounters this God who has been waiting for him all along, who knows him intimately, who knows who he is to the inner core. And in the waiting room, he had one view of what God would be, but now he's in for this surprise. What would Nathanael and the disciples see Jesus do over the next 3.5 years? Not destroy political systems, but destroy the works of the devil. Go about revealing the Father's love for people. And the Romans, the hated Romans and the Roman army, they would watch as Jesus would speak to a Roman centurion and just praise his faith above all the faith he'd seen in Israel and heal his sick servant and just express God's love to him. And this was Jesus, instead of overthrowing the Roman Empire as many had expected and wanted a Messiah to do at that time, the ultimate act of love, die on a cruel cross at the hands of both Romans and Jews, in order that not only the Jews and not only the Romans, but you and I today would come into the kingdom of God. Outrageous love. And if you've been in the waiting room for whatever reason, it's time to take another look at Jesus, because I believe there is a God encounter waiting for you today. And God's invitation is come and see. Come and see. Back in John 1 and in verse 45 to 46, we read about how Philip found Nathanael and he told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And here's Nathanael's initial response. "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" And as Philip says, "Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph," Nathanael's first response, of course, is one of unbelief. Nazareth, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He's got a good line of reasoning. The scripture doesn't indicate that the Messiah would come from Nazareth, but he doesn't know yet that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And as he stands at the door of the waiting room, he's got to allow these objections to be overcome. It's the same for us today. If we don't like the look of the new thing that God is doing, then we could hesitate and miss it. We could get stuck in the waiting room. I don't want to be judgmental of the people that God is using and raising up, or the kinds of things that he's doing, and miss out on the gift of God of what he's doing. There's this saying, isn't it? It goes, familiarity breeds contempt. oh, you know, I can come in here and I can just see something so fresh, so anointed and so unique that you have here. Can anything good come out of Kalgoorlie Church of Christ? Yes. Can anything good come out of Kalgoorlie Boulder? Yes. Can anything good come out of your life? Absolutely. Can anything good come out of that person across the room for you, that person that you know really well with all of their weaknesses and their issues and their past and things, disappointments, the way that they've disappointed you? Yes, something good. You know, we've got this tendency to want to put people into storage sometimes, including ourselves. And we put waiting room tags on ourselves or others, and we say, well, you know, we're not ready, or you're not ready to shine, you're not ready to enter the purposes of God. And so we have this waiting room tag. A few years ago, I was sitting with a lady in our church, in our church reception area. She's in her 70s. And she was telling me about a prophetic dream that she had, and which she saw a fruit tree, a beautiful, unique fruit tree. And she realized, and I confirmed for her, that God was speaking to her about a new season of fruitfulness in her life. This lady was in her 70s, and she was about to do healing rooms training. She'd never done anything like that before. But God was breaking her into new things. 3 days later, I was speaking at a woman's breakfast over the other side of our city, and I sat next to an 80-something-year-old woman who had been an artist in her earlier years, an art teacher. And she had held exhibitions. Her art was at a very high level. And she said to me, because of her unsteadiness of hand as she'd aged, she'd stopped the artwork. But she said, a couple of weeks ago, God gave me a dream in the night, and he showed me that it was time to pick up the art again, and that also he wanted me to write something new that she hadn't done before. She said, I've started this painting. I don't even know what it's going to turn out to be like, but I know it's something prophetic, something from God. A week later, I was at a healing conference in Sydney. And as you do when you're just meeting people and just in the moment, we were going into an elevator, met a couple in their 70s, and the guy says to his wife, they're just glowing, and he says, you know, we were in a group, he says, tell them what God has done for you. She holds out her hand like this. She said, my hand was crippled, she had one finger that was bent over. She used to play piano in her earlier years, but she hadn't been able to play for a long time. She said, I should have known that something was going to happen, because last night during the worship time, I found myself just making piano motions in the worship. She said, today I've been healed. She opened her hand, and her hand was healed, and she can play again. You see, this is God's time for his older saints. It's not a time to put them into storage. You know, the world might think that way, but in the kingdom of God, it's a time of release. It's a time of new fruitfulness. And what about the children? They're not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. What about the young people? Sure, they might be a bit rough around the edges sometimes, but that's no reason to keep them in storage and put a waiting room tag on them, because God has a work for them to do right now that only they can do. It's a season of release that God has for them. It's time to stop allocating ourselves and others to the waiting room for whatever reason that might be. It's time we stop seeing people according to their history and see them as the Father sees them, according to their destiny. That's the heart of God for them, for us. And in the waiting room, Nathaniel sees himself as a seeker of God and a servant of God. But he's about to meet Jesus, who's going to introduce God as Father to him. To emerge from the waiting room is to discover that we are sons and daughters of God. We are his royal children, and to realize who he's created us to be. And Jesus says to Nathanael in John 1 and verse 50, You believe because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree, had a word of knowledge. He says, you're going to see greater things than that. Truly, I tell you, you're going to see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jesus says to Nathanael, you're going to see an open heaven. You're going to see heaven impact earth. All of his life, Nathanael has been waiting for the move of God, waiting for the Messiah. And Jesus says, you don't have to wait anymore. The kingdom is here. And he's in for a surprise. Because Jesus wasn't about setting up an earthly government, but he was about exercising God's rule over disease and over sin and over evil. Jesus showed his followers there were two aspects to the kingdom of God, the kingdom future and the kingdom present. And Jesus himself looked forward to the future kingdom. It's what he talked about at the Last Supper. That time that we know that up ahead, that Revelation in chapter 21 speaks of, where he will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more crying. And our expectation of this future kingdom is what gives us the hope and the anticipation of ultimate good when we're going through sickness or even going through when we experience death. And we have this anticipation of future answers to prayer and the future goodness of God's kingdom. But Jesus showed us that the kingdom of God is not just the kingdom future. It's the kingdom, it's the exercise of the rule of God in the now. And as Jesus went about, he went about proclaiming the now kingdom of God. And as he launched his ministry, Mark tells us in Mark 1:14-15, Jesus went to Galilee preaching the message of God. Time's up. God's kingdom is here. Change your life and believe the message. The waiting is over. And as Jesus went about announcing this kingdom, he wasn't just talking about a future kingdom. He was exercising God's rule in the now. It was a now kingdom. This is the heart of the Father. Be healed. This is the heart of God. This God is in charge. Be set free from that oppression. Arise, Lazarus. Be resurrected. And this is the thing that set Jesus apart from everyone that had gone before. The scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were able to describe the word of God that had been written in the past. The prophets spoke of that which is of the future. But Jesus went about speaking a now word of God and bringing the kingdom of God into the present. This is what Jesus ushered in. This is the kingdom that you and I live in. But if we just spend our lives in the waiting room, just waiting for the kingdom of God, waiting for answered prayer, waiting for God to move, we're going to miss the fullness of what he has for us. And I know it's often easier for us, those of us who have got parents that have children that are struggling in some way, it's easier to complain about things than it is to pray and pray a powerful prayer of agreement together. Sometimes it's easier to put up with the headache or the issue or the health thing or the problem, whatever that might be, than to agree in prayer together and pray about it and declare the things of God. And it's easy to get stuck in a waiting room Christianity and miss the fullness because there is a cost to stepping out. Because we know that things are going to get messy. Because God's kingdom challenges the status quo. It challenges the status quo. But oh, the rewards, the rewards. There's been times in my life when I've been stuck in a waiting room and haven't known how to get out. I remember a time when my children were very young. And my husband and I, we went through a season of loss in many areas, in our business life and ministry and church, loss in our family life, loss financially. It was a very tough time, a very painful time. I came out of that time, even though God had delivered us out of some stuff, I came out of that time with severe depression. For 3 years, I struggled with depression every day, with physical pain in my body every day. I had a back issue that, and I had sciatica, severe sciatica. And there'd be times when I'd cook meal for my family, I wouldn't be able to eat with them. I'd lie on the floor and eat because the pain was so bad. And I remember during that time, there was 1 month, and I was laid up in bed, and I said, God, I don't think I can get any lower than this. This is about as low as I can get. But I just still choose to trust you. I choose to trust you. And during that time, in that same month, God spoke to us that he was releasing my husband into full-time ministry in the area missions. And I knew that this was God. And so I was like, okay, regardless of my condition, I choose to obey. I choose to step out, involved a move to another city. We were in the process of moving. And I kept getting this picture, this strong impression of something that God wanted to speak to me. And so I had a picture of seeing myself writing something down that God was saying. So I did. One day I just thought, okay, this is clearly God speaking to me. So I got my notebook and I sat before God. And it was like he was saying, I'm waiting for you. There's more. It was just a simple sentence each day, 3 days in a row. I'm waiting for you. There's more. I'm waiting for you. There's more. On the fourth day, we heard from a friend of ours who was a pastor. He said, God is moving in our church, and the Holy Spirit is moving, and people are being healed, and things are taking place. And that day, I got down on my knees, and I said, God, I've got to have more of you. And that weekend, we went and encountered the presence of God in our friend's church. And I was healed from depression because in the presence of God, there is a fullness of joy. And the joy got me moving physically and exercising, and I became pain-free from that time because of that. You see, sometimes it's pain and trauma that can leave us in a waiting room with walls of self-protection around our life because we're afraid that if we break free of that, that we'll get hurt again. And God says, I am the only protection that you need. Why is it that in spite of the freedom God has for us, it's easy to get stuck in the waiting room? It's like you think about the waiting room, like the doctor's waiting room. You know, it's comfortable, isn't it? There's chairs, there's magazines, there's a TV going. The waiting room can be our comfort zone. But God is saying it's time to move out from the comfort zone. It's time to get out of that place of familiarity. And just in closing, Nathanael shows up again in John chapter 21. And in John 21, verses 1 to 6, we read, this is after the resurrection of Jesus, but the disciples are still in that place, in that waiting room. They don't really know what's going on. It says, afterward, Jesus appeared to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee and two other disciples are together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. Here they are going back to what is familiar. Here they are going back to the waiting room, to what they knew, what they were comfortable with. But they went and caught nothing. Early in the morning, verse 4, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't recognize it was Jesus. He calls out, friends, have you any fish? No, they answered. Jesus said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. They've gone back to where they're familiar, to fishing. And now Jesus is taking his disciples back to the first call. He called them and he said, I will make you fishers of people. This is your destiny. You are going to reach many for the kingdom of God because I'm sending my Holy Spirit and it's not going to be a small catch. Church of Christ, Kalgoorlie, and those of you who are from beyond, it's not going to be a small catch. What God has for you is huge. Nathanael and these disciples, they experienced what we know now is the greatest move of God of all time. They knew Jesus in his ministry, the resurrection, Pentecost, the birth of the early church, the book of Acts. The tragedy is that many at that time missed it and got stuck in the waiting room. But today God is saying to you and I, the waiting is over. The door is open, and it's time to cross over that bridge into the new things that I have for you. Let's stand together. Oh, Lord God. Father, many of us today acknowledge there is some area in our lives in which we have been holding back in some way, in which we have been hesitating, whether it's hesitating to give more or all to you, to commit our lives to you, or whether it's hesitating to step out boldly into the things that you have for us, or whether we've been hesitating to step out even in prayer, to pray ourselves or with others, or just to encounter you. And Father, we've heard this message today that the waiting is over. Lord, today is the day that you're calling us to step over the line into the newness and freshness of what you have. So today, Lord, we say yes to you. We say yes to your Spirit. We say yes to your invitation to encounter Jesus, to go to the next level of what you have for us. And Lord, today we put up our hand and we say yes, God, to you. Father, we thank you for all that you have for us. And we say we will not hold back anymore. We repent, Lord, where we have been holding back on you. And we say, Lord, where we've been putting waiting room tags on ourselves or on others. Lord, we say we're not going to do that. We take them off right now by faith in Jesus' name. Lord, we say we're ready. We're going to step out of the comfort zone and into the miracle zone of what you have for us as a church, as individuals, as families, as businesses, and just every area of life that's represented here, Father. I thank you for a significant move of God's that is literally going to turn us inside out, that the world might see who you are, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just believe today that some of you need to respond to God to say, right, I'm going to take a step of faith, that I personally am stepping out of the waiting room. I want to encounter Jesus. I want to know this new thing, and I want to know God in a greater measure. And if God is speaking to you personally today, I want to encourage you as we just move in a time, maybe just singing quietly a song before God, that you will respond how you just feel. And we have a prayer team, I believe, here. Pastor Mark, I'm just going to hand over to Pastor Mark to direct. Thank you. Bless you guys.